Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
You are listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan. Let's go right to the phones. And joining us from Colorado Parks and Wildlife is Tina Jackson. Good morning, Tina.
Good morning, Terry.
What a beautiful morning. Are you calling us from the metro area? Because it is beautiful up here in Fort Collins.
Yeah, I'm in Denver, and it's looking really nice right now. I took my dog for a walk this morning in a rainstorm, but, you know, we never argue about rain here in Colorado.
No, and we're looking at some sunny, hot weather, maybe a preview of summer coming up. But, you know, we talk a lot on this show about fishing and hunting and camping and all the things that Colorado Parks and Wildlife does. In fact, Parks and Wildlife has been a partner on this show since 1998. But I think sometimes we need to also talk about the other species, the other programs that parks, by mandate and by charter, are required to do, and they're important things. And one of those is the endangered species. Tell us a little bit about some of the endangered species projects. What does Parks and Wildlife do with endangered species?
Yeah, well, this is a great time to be talking about endangered species. Yesterday was Endangered Species Day, one of those holidays I hope someday we don't have to celebrate anymore. But here at Parks and Wildlife, we're responsible for all of the wildlife species in the state, and that includes over 20 species that are actually listed as endangered either at the federal or the state level, and another 10 or more that are listed as threatened. And so, you know, our main goal with Parks and Wildlife is to keep more species from being added to those lists. We want to make sure that all the other species in the state don't need those sorts of protections. But once a species reaches that level and needs that protection, you know, we do everything we can to try to recover those species, make it so that they're not facing the threats that put them on those lists, and get them off the list and, you know, moving on their merry species way of just kind of being out there in the world and not needing that additional protection.
Well, and I think there's a few reasons for that, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. Number one is we don't want any species to go extinct. We don't even know what impact down the road that could have to our ecosystem, and sometimes there's unintended consequences, but just we love to have the animals to enjoy. No matter what level of the food chain they are or what level we think they're at, they add to our enjoyment having. We don't want any animal to go extinct. And also, the other thing that a lot of people don't realize, and that's the people who enjoy other animals that aren't on the list, our game in Colorado, our wildlife, whether they're wildlife watchers or hunters. It really, once an animal becomes listed, it affects your ability to manage some of that habitat, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. There's a lot of reasons to keep a species from being listed, to work towards that goal, as well as to try to recover a species. And you're right. I mean, we don't know what the implications are of losing these different species within the food chain. And so we want to keep everybody out there. And, you know, one of the examples that I like to use a lot is I work with the black-footed ferret. And this is a species we actually thought was extinct. And we found a small population up in Wyoming back in the early 80s, and we've worked to recover that species. And we've gone from 8 individuals back then to, we've got probably pushing about 1,000 of them. And the reason the ferret is so important is it's important to its food chain, but it's also the only native ferret to North America. So, you know, we would have lost something really special if we had not worked to get the ferret to the point it is now.
Now, I know some of the other species you talked about that you're working with, and jumping mice and bats, people wouldn't think of those. Tell me about those.
Yeah, so I have a really strange mix of species that I work with, but two of my other listed species are two different subspecies of the meadow jumping mouse, the Preble's meadow jumping mouse. If you live here along the Front Range, you've probably heard about them. They're considered threatened throughout their range, which is the Front Range of Colorado and Wyoming. And then just in the last 5 or so years, the New Mexico meadow jumping mouse, which occurs along the southern edge of Colorado, was listed as federally endangered. And it occurs here in Colorado. The heart of its range is in New Mexico and then also a little bit in Arizona. And so we're working on protecting the riparian areas that those two species depend on. One of the really exciting things in the last year, you've probably heard about Fisher's Peak, our new state park here in the next year or two down in the southern part of the state. As we were getting ready, learning more about that property, we actually found out we have New Mexico meadow jumping mice on that property. So, you know, we are taking the mouse into consideration as we develop that property for recreational uses. And then I also work with all of our native bat species, and two of those species are currently being reviewed for federal listing. And both of those are because of a disease that's impacting bats across North America called white nose syndrome. So we're working with the federal agencies to pull together information and see if they do need those additional protections and what we can do to work with that process.
Now, the last question I have for you, Tina, we're all experiencing this COVID thing, and you mentioned bats, and we know there's these rumors flying that it may have developed in China and bats, and we talk about the first. Is there any indication either way that COVID is having an effect, or is there an effect or a benefit from any of these animals in the research for COVID?
Yeah, so it was really interesting when the whole coronavirus thing started here in the U.S., you know, I thought, oh, well, I'm going to have to work from home and do all these other things. Well, then we started looking into it a little bit more, and researchers with some of the wildlife health groups started looking. Both black-footed ferrets and bats are species that we're actually concerned about giving COVID to them. And you mentioned bats and the potential that this came out of bats in Asia. And it is possible, it is likely that happened. Bats in parts of the world are reservoirs for these very different diseases. And that's a really interesting research question, because the bats seem to do just fine with it. And as we study the bats and the diseases that they have, we can actually learn more about how we can treat them in us and how we can keep from having problems. Ferrets are a different story when it comes to COVID, and part of that is that genetic bottleneck they went through. And they're very susceptible to things like human influenza and SARS-CoV-1, which is closely related to the one we're dealing with now. And so we're very concerned about the ferrets in the world getting this coronavirus. And the importance of that is we have most of our ferrets that we use for release come out of captive populations. And so all of those captive facilities are now taking extra precautions to make sure that they don't bring in COVID into those captive environments, because we're not quite sure how those ferrets would be able to handle that.
Well, another reason to protect species, because they may give us clues as we develop things for this, and it shows you how important endangered species are. Tina, we are out of time, but really interesting. I'm sure there's information on the CPW website. Am I right?
There is a ton of information on our website about all the individual species and then about the bigger projects that we're working on as well.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. And that was just interesting information. Thank you, Tina.
Yeah. Thank you, Terry.
You bet. Tina Jackson. We're taking a quick time out, and folks from Sun Power Sports are going to join us and talk about some great things happening there. And Terry Wickstrom Outdoors on 104.3 The Fan.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.